Okay, everybody. This is some shiurim on Haggadah. I was very hesitant, actually. It's only because of Devin's great influence on me. Because if you look at the signs, you will see around 1 million people are giving 1 million shiurim on Haggadah. So I don't really know if I have anything in particular to be maisif. Also, I am not a chassid of the clever, cute words which people like. So again, I don't have a lot of clever, cute things to tell you. So the problem would be you're not going to necessarily have clever, cute things to say at the table. So it might be mechuzer tayelas in some ways. But I just want to go over, you know, a pshat in a number of things, just to understand pshat. And, you know, for Friday night or before Yom Tov, if I speak in more general themes. But I'm not going to speak on general yesaitis here that much, other than one little yesait that I've mentioned a lot of times before. And this is a yesait in the Baal HaTanya, that he says the Iker yesait of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is the statement at the end of the Maggid, Chayav Adam Liras Asatzmai Kiilu Hu Yatzam in Mitzrayim. Each person must regard themselves as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim. And therefore the concept is you're not just remembering, but you are experiencing. That Pesach night, one must feel that they themselves are coming out of slavery. And the Baal HaTanya was Machadesh, that this does not mean I make believe I was in Egypt, because I was not in Egypt. But rather, Mitzrayim is from a lashon of Mitzarim. Mitzarim are boundaries, blockages, things that constrict me. David HaMelech says, Min HaMeitzar Karasi Ka, I call out to God from the narrow confines. And every single person has their own Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim could be my gaiva, my arrogance, my laziness, my taiva, my lack of self-esteem and understanding my own importance in God's eyes. And the Baal HaTanya says that each person is mechuyev to identify what is their Mitzrayim and to understand that the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach night is that a person can be redeemed from all of the different things that block them. So in a sense you kind of latch onto the koach of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's what it means. Each person must regard themselves as if they themselves were taken out of Mitzrayim, that the Eibishter will liberate them from all of their mitzorim. So what that means is, when you go through the Haggadah, there are two ideas here. The basic idea, which is the Pshat idea, is that this is the historical creation of Am Yisrael. This is the national history of how we became a people. And in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we see Hashgacha Pratis, we see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us in each way. You see the bris of the avos, you see the kayach of tefillah, because the psukim will tell us that it was in the marriage of prayer that we were zocha. And this is the national story of Am Yisrael that every parent tells a child, door after door after door. And that's what you call a dover hashav lechol nefesh, that applies to everybody. But then there's an individualistic, private aspect, which is you have to be makir your own Mitzrayim, and understand that Yetzias Mitzrayim is piled on you as an individual. So that's a general yesaid that one should think about very, very carefully. And that is why Bir Chametz Bichlal, the whole ceremony of Bir Chametz, if you look in the Siddurim and you see the tefillah that is recited, when you burn the Chametz, you see that the Chametz is a remez to the Yetzer Hara that is within a person. And one is destroying their Yetzer Hara when they burn the Chametz. In fact, they tell a beautiful story about a Hasidic Rebbe after they spent hours and hours on looking for Chametz. So the Hasidic Rebbe, so the Talmidim were kind of happy. Baruch Hashem, we did a big Avodah, we did a tremendous thing. So the Rebbe pointed to his shirt and he said, and what about the Chametz in here? When are we going to be biting the Chametz in here? So the Talmidim had a beautiful answer. They said, the first Mishnah says in Pesachim, Makayim she'ein machnisen bo chametz, a place that doesn't have chametz, you don't have to check. So Rebbe, at least your heart is a place that doesn't have chametz. You know, so that might be true for the Rebbe, but you know, it's not. It's less true, I think, for us. Or I'll speak for myself at least. So the avodah of bir chametz is also the chametz of the lay, because chametz is a remez to arrogance, to gaiva, it's pafta, and therefore one has to try to be mivar the chametz shebaleiv. You know, the largest seder in the world, at least I think it still is in Kathmandu in Nepal. It's a Chabad seder, and and obviously it's not a native Jewish population there, but mainly it's mainly Israelis. A lot of Israelis after the army, mostly not religious, like to travel the Far East, and they go to a Pesach seder, and you have like 2,000 or 3,000 people at a Pesach seder. Tremendous thing. And you know how Chabad does it, I don't know, but they manage to run a Pesach Seder. Now, but because the population is largely not religious, they do things a little avant-garde. So on Erev Pesach, when they burn the chametz, they created a new minhag where everybody writes on a piece of paper some bad midah that they want to burn with the chametz. And they throw it in. So if you're a Litvak, you're a Litvisher person, you know, this is new age stuff, what is this? This is not right. But the emes is, this is very much in the spirits of the mitzvah of bir chametz. Avada bir chametz is a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv, you have to be medayik in all the halachas. But even in the tefillah, which is from the Mekubalim, it talks about being mevaer, destroying the chametz of the leiv. The Gemara in Brachos describes the Yetzer Hara as Seor Shebe Isa. Seor is the leavening agent of the dough that makes it puffed up and arrogant. And therefore, to connect to Biur Chametz, to being Mava'er, to destroying the Midas Raos of a person, that's a very, very important, you say, that's not like a tangential New Age thing. It's something that one can give thought, one gives machshava about. As well. So, although Pesach is Vaday a very, very busy time, and of course it's brought down that the Amelus of being Mavari the Chametz is a big, big skula for many, many brachas. The Arizal writes that if a person is Zohir, not to have a Mashahu of Chametz in their house, it's Muftachlai that he's a Ben Olam Haba and he will not be harmed for the whole year, but we also have to focus on the Chametz Shevaleiv. Now, be it as it may, the aside of having a Seder is really a collection of a lot of mitzvos that simply come together. Today, some of the mitzvos are d'oraisa, and some of the mitzvos are d'rabbanan. If we start from the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash, there was, of course, a mitzvah to bring a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and to eat it, to consume it, the night of the 15th of Nisan. So one thing you had to do was, I have a mitzvah of eating a Korban Pesach. Another mitzvah I have is eating matzah. A third mitzvah I have is eating moror. Now these are three mitzvahs that are in the Torah. Achilas Pesach, well, Shechita Pesach is B'yudalit, but once it's nightfall, Achilas Korban Pesach, Doraisa, Achilas Matzah, when there was Doraisa, Achilas Moror, when there is a Korban Pesach, D'oraisa. Okay, those are the d'oraisas. Now, in addition with eating Pesach, Matzah, Maror, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to narrate the story of the Exodus. And this mitzvah is called Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. What is the makor of the Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? It is the pasuk that says, V'higadata levincha bayomahu lemor, you shall narrate to your child on that day, which we'll see how we know this. It means the night before, but it means the night of the 15th. Bavor zeh, because of what Hashem did for me when he took me out of Mitzrayim, we are celebrating. And that is called the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that's where we get the word Haggadah. The narrative, Haggadah, because of the pasuk, v'higadata levincha b'yomahu lemor. So it turns out that in terms of the night of Pesach, there are four mitzvahs that are min ha-Torah. There is the eating of the Korban Pesach, the eating of Matzah, the eating of Maror, and the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, Bizman HaZeh, we've lost a few things. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So Bizman HaZeh, we do not bring the Korban Pesach at all. And in fact, we actually do things at the Seder to make very, very clear that nobody thinks that we're eating the Korban Pesach. That's why, for example, the minhag is that we don't have any roasted meats, because that's what the Korban Pesach was. And that is why when we have the paragraphs about Pesach Matzah Marah, we don't point to the shank bone and say Pesach Seh, so people shouldn't think like, we have to go out of our way. So Pesach we don't have today, although we obviously pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Korban Pesach and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So we don't have that at all. Matzah remains a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Gemara darshins that from different psukim, that matzah is a chiyuv even when there's no Korban Pesach. Maror, however, bisman hazeh, is only midrabanan. Maror is not d'oraisa bisman hazeh. And the chiluk between maror and matzah is the following. The pasuk says, Al matzais umareirim yechluhu. You should eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and maror. Now, if all you had was that pasuk, where there's no Korban Pesach, there would be no matzah and no maror. But with matzah, we have another pasuk, Be'erev teichlu matzais, that teaches me that even when there's no Korban Pesach, you're mechuyev to eat matzah. Maror, however, is only mentioned in connection with Korban Pesach. There is no other pasuk that mentions maror except the pasuk that mentions maror with Korban Pesach. Therefore, interestingly enough, maror bisman hazeh is derabanan, matzah bisman hazeh is deoraisa. There is no Korban Pesach. Sipur yitzias Mitzrayim is considered to be deoraisa, even bisman hazeh. Now, the drinking of 4 cups of wine is a takonas chachamim. It is vaday not deoraisa. Dalet kosos is not minatayra. The Bavli, of course, talks about the din of dalet kosos, but the Bavli, interestingly enough, does not give you any reason for it. The famous reason, there are many reasons, but the most famous reason that everybody knows that the 4 cups of wine are because of the 4 terms of Geula. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, v'lokachti. Right, Hashem used 4 lashonos of Geula. That is from the Yerushalmi, right? Rashi in Avri Psochim brings it b'shem the Yerushalmi, and there are other reasons as well, but that is clearly a takonas chachamim, it's a drabanan. One other point, though. In other words, so what do we have? Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Araisa. Eating matzah is the Araisa. Eating maror is drabanan. Dalet kosos is midrabanan. Now, what about things like afikomen? And what about korech? And what about karpas? There's other stuff we eat and the like. So afikomen is an interesting question, because bisman hamikdash, the Korban Pesach would be eaten at the end of the meal. It was not your main meal. In fact, there's a halacha that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten when you're already full. Not overstuffed, but when you're no longer hungry. Because that's a siman of freedom, that you're not like a desperate, hungry person. So when there was a Korban Pesach, it would be eaten at the end. So when we no longer have a Korban Pesach, the Chachamim were mesakein that we should eat an extra piece of matzah, zecher le Korban Pesach. So the pashtus is, afikomen is a drabanan, zecher to the Korban Pesach that was nechal al asayva. However, some Rishayim say it this way. They say, once Chazal were mesakein that the afikomen should be eaten as a zecher l'korban Pesach, they were misakein that your kavana should be that should be the matzah by which your yaitzei the doraisa. Meaning, according to many Rishayim, the initial matzah that you eat, your kavana should only be that I'm doing it for the meal, to have my meal, but the ikar mitzvah of matzah should be mekoyim with the afikomen. And even though, how could that be? I make the bracha, but your ikar kavan is you're making that bracha for the afikomen. It's a machlokes rishayim. The Rambam, on the other hand, seems to learn that the ikar mitzvah of matzah is the first matzah that you eat, and the afikomen is only a zecher b'yalma. Similarly, the korach, the combination of the matzah and the maror, is because according to Hillel, when there was a korban pesach, you ate all three together, so this is called a zecher lemikdash to Hillel, even though the halacha is like the chachamim. So apikomen, like most, is a drabanan. Korach is a zecher lemikdash, and karpas, I'll get you, that's also a drabanan, which is largely zecher lemikdash. So it turns out that this big thing that we call the Seder is really a ceremony that combines many, many different mitzvos that we're mechuyev to do. Some of them are drabanan, some of them are d'oraisa, and some we're not socha without a beis hamikdash to be able to do today. But as the Netziv says, the site of the Seder, besides being the place where you fulfill Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, is to be a zecher to the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach. So the Netziv points out that this is the makor of a kittel, right? Many people have a minhag that they wear a kittel at the Seder, at least when they're married. They wear a white kittel. And there are different reasons that are given. The Magen Avraham brings a reason that since the Seder is a luxurious meal, a person might be a balgaiva, you know, oh, look how much beautiful stuff I have, and therefore he should remember the day of death, Zechiras Yayman Misa, that keeps him humble. But the Netziv writes on that reason, Zat Tamoa Ma'od, the Netziv says he doesn't, that makes no sense to him. Then on a Yomtif, where there's a mitzvah of Simcha, you would put on some sign to remind you of the day of death, that takes away your simcha. So, because of this, Netziv says the other way around. Netziv says that Bizman HaMikdash, a white linen garment was like the most chashuv thing a person would wear. And since we want to reenact the achila of the Korban Pesach, we wear what was considered to be the most prestigious type of garment. So the Netziv says it's a malbush of kavod and gedula. In fact, it's very interesting. It's famous, you know, the Siddurim in Volozhin were very, very famous. The Netziv was the Yeshiva Volozhin. And the whole Yeshiva would come to the Netziv Seder, meaning they didn't go home for pay. I mean, some people did, but by and large, most of the Yeshiva stayed in Volozhin, and they would go to the Netziv Seder. So, now, Volozhin was not mere. It wasn't like 7,000 people, but Volozhin was, you know, 500 people, and they would come. And later, a lot of people from the rest of the city would come as well. They would come in after their Siddurim. And we have all sorts of accounts about how beautiful the Siddurim were. Rav Kook, for example, was a Talmud in Volozhin. He wrote about it, and later people wrote about it, and the like. And originally, the two Korosh Yeshivas of Volozhin were the Netziv and the Beis Halevi. Not Rav Chaim came later, and the Beis Halevi. And there was a big din Torah for various reasons. The Beis Halevi had to leave, and later it got misukin a little bit when Rav Chaim married the Netziv's granddaughter and became Korosh Yeshiva. But the Netziv used to say a little bit sarcastically that what's the nafkamina between the Netziv and the Beis Halevi? He said the big nafkamina is how we go through Pesach. He says the Beis Halevi, he said, the Brisker, is filled with daigas, filled with worries, filled with pachad. Is the matzah good? Is there chametz in the house? In fact, they say that, number one, the Brisker matzah, I don't know if it's still this way, was totally black, like a piece of charcoal, to be sure there was no chametz. And it says that the Beis Halevi actually was very makel on kezesim. He ate the smallest kezesim. Why? Because he was chayshish, the matzah might be chametz. And therefore, he said, he had to be more machmir in not being over on chametz than being mekayim matzah. So he ate the least you can do. So he says, so the Beis Halevi is going through a whole daiga. At the end of Pesach, he would say, Baruch Hashem, I got through Pesach without any problems. He says, the Netziv says, with me it's the other way around. The Seder is such a gevaldige simcha, a feeling of cheres. He said there was enough kamina in how they looked at it. So they talked about to all the people who write about the Haggadah, they talk about the Raimimus HaNefesh, the great, great Simcha there. So this idea of the Kittel being a royal Malchus that the Netziv writes about is very consistent with the way the Seder was described. So that's what he says, that in addition to being the mechanism by which we are Mekayim, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, it is also a Zecher of the Korban Pesach itself. Okay, so we have, of course, the Seder is outlined in 15 steps, Kadesh, Orchatz, etc. And this is a famous list that goes back to the Rishonim. Interestingly enough, there are other lists. I mean, all the order is the same like everybody, but there are other poetic ways of expressing it. So this anonymous author kind of got his in, I think, in all Tefushas Yisrael. But there were some poetic ways, and it's brought down in Svarim that it's important to actually say this whole list. Now, some people say it. Some people say the whole list before every stage, which is kind of takes a little bit of time, not that much. Others will just announce the step as you go along. But part of the idea of a Seder is you follow a Seder, meaning you announce each step. So what I want to do tonight is I just want to go over the steps and give you a little ha'ara on each step, so you'll get an overall perspective. Again, I apologize if obviously much of this will be known to a lot of you, but we'll try to add something. So our first step is Kadesh, which is Kiddush. Kiddush, of course, is not particularly unique. Every Sudas, Shabbos, and Yom Tov, we have to begin with Kiddush. Is Kiddush a Dairaisa or Drabanan? So actually, it actually depends. If, like tonight, like this year, it is a Friday night, it is also a Kiddush of Shabbos. Kiddush on Shabbos is a Dairaisa. Kiddush on Yom Tov, per se, is only a Midrabanan. Kiddush on Shabbos is the Araisa because Zochor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei. Now, the emes is, even on Shabbos, Kiddush may l'maisa be a drabana, because the Magen Avraham says that the need to recite Kiddush over wine is only midrabana, and Doraisa your Yotzei with words of Kiddush. That's what the Rambam says. The Magen Avraham says, therefore, I'll pee the Rambam, you are Yaitzei Kiddush Diaraisa when you say Vayachulu in the Amida. Therefore, it turns out that even the Kiddush that you recite when you get home on Friday night is only a Drabanan. But the Mishnah Berurah is Chalak on this. The Mishnah Berurah says that since the person has Kavana, that he's going to make Kiddush on the wine, it's Ki'ilu he's Machaven not to be Yaitzei. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah is actually Masek, that unless you had Kavana to be Yaitzei in Shmoneh Esrei, you're B'davka not the Yaitzei. It's Ki'ilu you have Kavana not to be Yaitzei. So therefore, we could say the Kiddush Friday night on Yom Tov, like the first Seder this year, is a Doraisa. Now, why is that important? I mean, it's important now for Yediyas generally, but it actually chaps a very practical nafkamina, and that is the shiur of Dalid Kaisis. In other words, how much wine must be in your cup for Dalid Kaisis. Now, the shiur that Chazal told us, a cup, a kos shel bracha, in fact, all of the four cups, has to be a revius, a fourth of a lug, which is the volume of an egg and a half. But how do you translate that into ounces? Because there are different eggs and different sizes and different complications. And without getting to all of this, which is a very, very complicated sugya, and it's hard to have any clarity, the point basically is you got to work with a larger revius when the mitzvah is a doraisa, and you're allowed to work with a lesser revius when the mitzvah is drabanan. So the shear is the same, a revius, but since it can be computed in different ways, you can be more lenient on the drabanan. So therefore, Moshe Feinstein says that normally he comes out that the shear revius is approximately 3.5 fluid ounces, but when the first Seder falls out on Friday night, the kos needs to be 4 fluid ounces, because the Kiddush is the Araisa. But L'chara, my Ha'ara would be, maybe everybody just says it, I don't remember anymore, that the only one that would have to have the 4 fluid ounces is the Balabayas that's saying Kiddush. Meaning everybody else, for them, is just one of the Dalit Kosos, so they could have 3.5. Right? So this would be a bit of a nafkamina, Lagabi, the size of the first cup. But other than that, Kiddush is Kiddush, and it's followed by Shechianu. And we, of course, are also Mekayim, the first of the four cups of wine, on Kiddush. Okay. Now, the next thing is Urchatz. Now, what is Urchatz? So we know we wash our hands without a bracha, and then we eat a vegetable dipped in salt water. What does that have to do with anything? So here, you got to understand that it is really step three that's a Takanas Chachamim, and step two comes out of step three. So really, you got to look at Karpas first, and then you go backwards and understand Urchatz. Now, you can't understand Urchatz until you understand Karpas. So what is Karpas? So the Mishnah says in Arvei Pesachim that the Chachamim enacted that we do certain things Pesach night that are different than we do the whole year, so that the children will see some unusual things and they will ask what's going on. And that will be a Pesach, that'll be an opening to be able to explain the ideas of the Haggadah. Now, of course, if you take that literally, it gets a little circular, because you do something unusual and the kid asks, why are you doing that? He says, oh, I'm doing it so you'll ask me why I'm doing it. So why are you doing it? So you'll ask the question. I mean, that doesn't quite make a lot of sense, because you're kind of in an infinite loop in which there's never going to be an answer to anything. So in reality, Rashi and the Rashbam both say that one of the things the Chachamim enacted was to have an additional course of food, like an appetizer, because that's the derech of a melech. At a royal banquet, you have an appetizer before the main meal. And I guess now today, because we live much more luxurious lives, we have all sorts of things before we have the main meal. But in those days, this was a shame dover. This was an unusual thing. So the point I want to make is this. The original idea of a yerek was really a luxurious show of cheirus and freedom and malchus. It was like a luxury. And even the salt water, if you see, it was not... It was part of a dip. It was like dipping it in a sauce. Which means like this. What you see often in the Minhagim of the Seder is that the original reason then gets redefined in time with additional meanings that the later Deris put into it. Meaning, if you want to know what the original idea of Karpas was, it was a luxury behavior to show my cheiris, and I'm a ben chayrin, and therefore I dipped it, because dipping was a sign of chashivas. Now, we know in later times, already the Rishayim gave different Ramazim that almost move in the opposite way. So karpas, which means a green vegetable, karpas then says, oh, it's an abbreviation for samach, going backwards, samach, 60 myriads, 600,000, perach, back-breaking labor. And the salt water is a remez to salt tears. Now, if you think about it, those timim are actually exactly the opposite of what Chazal originally were misakin. Chazal were misakin this as a fancy sign, Amma ben Chayrin. Later, Dairis read into it, Ramazim, to the avdus of samach perech and salt. Now, because of this, we have a machlokes of minhagim. Do you recline, which is another mitzvah drabbanan, reclining at various points. Do you recline when you eat karpas? For example, you recline when you drink the four kaises of yayin. You recline when you eat matzah, that reminds us of the geula. You don't recline when you eat maror, because that's slavery. In other words, you recline when the simanim are cheiros, and you don't recline when the simanim are avdus. So, is karpas a simon of avdus, or is karpas a simon of cheiros? Chazal seem to look at it as a simon of cheiros that would be machayev heseba, and yet, in light of the later understanding of it, it turns into a simon of avdus, in which there's no exception. That's why there are two minhagim. You may have different haggadahs that will say different things. So, one purpose of karpas is what is called a heker litinaikas, but really it's a heker, not just to be a heker, why are you doing it, so you'll ask, but a heker that we are b'nei chayrin, and we can have luxuries, etc. The other is a later post-Talmudic Havana, that we also look at this as a zecher of avdus and suffering. Now, let me mention a third idea of karpas that's very important. This is very nogel lahalacha. Karpas has to be something over which you make a bayrei pri ha'adama. Bayrei pri ha'adama. That's why there's actually a shaila if you get hydroponic vegetables, vegetables that are grown without being planted in the ground. So a lot of different types of lettuces and the like are hydroponic. So one has to be careful, because that is not a Berei Pri Adama. Now, it's brought down, when you make the Berei Pri Adama, you should have kavana. Kavana that you are covering the maror that you're going to eat later, so that when you eat the maror later, you're only going to make the bracha al achilas maror, and you're not going to make Berei Pri Adama. Now, you might say, well, why? So let me make the Berei Pri Adama in the maror later. Why should I have to have kavana? Because the emes is, there's a shaila on maror. Let's imagine you wouldn't have karpas. Now you'll see the problem. If there wouldn't be karpas, so the first vegetable I would be eating would be the maror after I wash. Now you might say, if that's the first vegetable, I'll make Berei Pri Adama, and I'll make alachilas maror. What is the problem? The problem is this. The problem is that there's a machlokes. Since the maror is eaten after hamotzi, is it devarim haboim? Is it part of a meal that don't have a Berei Pri Adama? Or is it something special that's not part of a normal meal and you need a Berei Pri Adama? Meaning, there is a suffek. Is maror chayev in a Berei Pri Adama, or is it covered by hamotzi? It's a suffek. So, how do you avoid a suffek bracha? By having kavana on the first maror, on the first karpas, to cover the maror. Because if I didn't have kavana on the first karpas to cover the maror, there would be a suffek, do I have to make Berei Pri Adama on the maror? Now, lemaisa, even if it is a suffek, you don't make a suffek bracha slahakel. That's a general rule. But you see, the issue is that we don't want you to have a suffek bracha. Ah. So because of this, the Paiskim say the following. Right. So now we have three different reasons for karpas. One is a heker litinaikis, right? That we, which is meaning a sign of cheres. And if you only had that reason, it didn't have to be a vegetable. It could have been a piece of meat, it could have been a piece of fish. But why does it need to be a vegetable? The second reason is to cover the maror, so it shouldn't be a suffek bracha. And the third reason is the later symbolism, that it's a symbol of avdus and the like. Okay. Now, because of this, the poskim say the following. When you eat the karpas, you have to eat bedafka less than a kezias. Even though you're hungry and you're not going to eat for a long time, you eat less than a kezias. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is because if you ate a kezias before you wash, you become chayiv in a bracha achrona, berei nefashas. If I make a bracha achrona, the hadama can no longer cover the mara, and then I'm going to be back to square one, suffek bracha. So in order to enable the mara, the hadama of karpas to cover the maror, you have to eat less than a kezias. Okay, so that's what you need to know about karpas. What you take for karpas, the emes is the halacha says you can take anything upon which the bracha is berei pri adama. It can be tomato, it can be potato, it can be celery, it can be parsley. In Eastern Europe, those who have parents from Poland and the like, I know that the minhag generally was potato, because in Poland they didn't have anything green that type of view at all. Other people like to take green. There's no particular hakpada in this. The only hakpada is that it be a berei pri adama, and that you eat less than a kezayis, and that you are mechavein to cover the maror. The Rambam, by the way, is chaylik. The Rambam says beferish, that bekert, and his logic is very strong. If achilas yarek is a takanas chachamim, then you have to eat a kezayis. Ein achila pachas mikzayis. The Rambam shita is you eat a kezayis. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained that according to the Rambam, you don't even have to have kavana for the karpas to cover the maror, because the Rambam holds the maror is considered to be part of the meal and it's covered by hamotzi. So the Rambam holds you eat a kezayis, you don't have to have any kavana, you make a bracha achrona, and the maror doesn't need a brei pri adama because it's the bar mabah and machmasuda. That's the Rambam shita. But we treat it as a suffix, and therefore the adama has to cover. Therefore, you have to have kavana, and therefore you eat less than a kezayis. Okay, that's the cheshbon with the karpas. Okay, in terms of reclining, different minhagim. Whatever you do, you're okay, and it's based on whether it's the simon of cheres or the simon of avos. Okay, so this is karpas. Now, what is orchats? Right, orchats. That's going backwards. So here, it's based on the following idea. We know that Chazal were Mesakin originally that a Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma, whether it's bread or whether it's fruit, even if it's an apple of Truma, unless he's Noitel his Yadayim. In other words, the original Takanas Chachamim was they were Geizer Tumas Yadayim, and that's in Gansenet Rabbanan, because Minatayra there is no such thing as a hand being Tameh without a person being tameh. So what we have is this is called tumas yadayim, and this is for covet of truma. Now the chachamim then extended it to another level, that whenever you're eating bread, even if it's chulin, you wash your hands. So people should remember for truma to wash your hands. Right. So we start off with netila shadayim l'truma. It then extended to chulin. Now, there is another din in the Gemara that says that the din of netila shadayim for chulin, for non-truma, is not only for bread, but for any fruit or vegetable or any food, even meat or fish, that is dipped in liquid and still has moisture on it. You're mechuyev to wash your hands. Now, why is that so? So here, it is complicated because you have to know the laws of Tumah V'Taira, which we're not so rugged in today. But the basic idea is this. The Tumah of a hand is a Sheni L'Tumah. Now, if a Sheni L'Tumah touches Chulin, it doesn't become Tameh at all, because a Sheni cannot be Metameh Chulin. If a Sheni touches Trumah, the Trumah does become Tameh, because a sheni is Isa Shlishi. Truma can become Tameh up to the level of Shlishi, right? Again, just to be sure you understand this. Let's take a sheretz. A sheretz is called an afatuma. I touch a sheretz, I become a Rishon Latuma. I touch the apple is a sheni Latuma. If the apple is chulin, that's as far as it goes. If, however, the apple is Truma, that sheni can touch another Truma apple, making the shlishi. So with yadayim, we start off right off the bat. Your yadayim are only a sheni, that's it. So that means my yadayim could be metame a truma apple, but my yadayim cannot be metame a chulin apple. But all of that is true only if the apple is dry. Even if it was wet, but if it's dry. Now, but if the apple is wet, here is your problem. We have a klal by tumas mashkin, by liquids that are tameh, that any tuma that can make truma tameh can elevate mashkin to a rishon l'tuma. Therefore, if my hands that are sheni l'tuma touch liquid, this liquid is now a rishon l'tuma. If the rishon l'tuma touches the apple, even if it's chulin, the apple is now a sheni. So it turns out, whenever you eat any food, this could be a fruit, a vegetable, a piece of meat, a piece of fish, anything that's wet with again, it depends what I mean by wet. A runny egg would not count, but it's wet with one of the seven liquids, like water for, you know, water that are capable of being makabel tumah. Your yadayim will be able to be matame the eichel, and therefore the chachamim were mechayev netilas yadayim for anything that is tibulo b'mashka, at least if you're going to eat it with your hands. So now the Shulchan Aruch actually says it's ra'oi v'nachayim to follow this halacha even today, which means to say the following: if I am going to eat, let's say I take an apple and I wash the apple and I'm going to eat the apple while it's still wet, I should not eat the apple with my hands unless I make a netilas yadayim without a bracha. If I'm going to eat the apple with a fork, that's not a problem. If the apple is dry, I dry it off before I eat the apple, that's okay also. But if it's going to be wet while I'm eating it, this is called tibulo b'mashka. Tibulo b'mashka requires netilas yadayim, and this is in the Gemara itself. Ad kidei kach, by the way, that the Vilna Gaon holds, this is a chiyuv mi'ikar adin, and you even make a bracha of al netilas yadayim. I'm talking about the year, I'm not talking about the seder. Mr. Burr says we don't pass him that way. Now, the thing is this. It is brought down that many, many achrayim say, however, that bizman hazeh, we are not nayeg the chumrah of tibula b'mashka, and therefore people who are mekel have a basis to be samech. But since Leil Seder, we want to be nayeg with all of the laws of Tumah v'Taira that they were nayeg bizman hamikdash. Since we're going to eat a tibula b'mashka, we do the urchatz of al netila shadayim as a zecher l'mikdash. Now, let me point out again, because it is the Graz Shita that tibula b'mashka is not a zecher l'mikdash, it is a chiyuv me'ikar adin. So the Graz says you do urchatz with a bracha. But that's not nobody. I mean, maybe there are Yerushalmis that follow the minhag of Rav Gamri, but by and large, nobody does that. Our minhag is without a bracha. Okay, so urchatz really is there only because of karpas. Once they put in karpas, we then go backwards and say this is the din of tibula b'mashka. Now, because this is only according to some, this is not because we're machmir in the din of tibula b'mashka the whole year. It's only Zecher l'mikdash. That is why you will find that some people have a minhag that only the Baal HaSeder washes his hands and not everybody else. Obviously the Gra would be chaylik on that, because they say it's a Zecher l'mikdash, it's maspik if the Baal HaSeder does it, right? So maybe you've seen it sometimes only the one conducting the Seder does it. Yeah.
Why is it shouldn't it be Gra?
Well, we have rachtsa. Yeah, why kadesh? Kadesh or rachatz? No, well, rachatz. Yeah, rachatz. The vav is an and kadesh.
So it's
or rachatz.
No other.
Well, part of it is really just the rhyming. It's kadesh or rachatz, karpas yachas. Right. So it's really as they say. There are actually other ways of writing this. People have written it other ways too. This is the one that gains a popularity. Yes.
Is there an Indian then to dip it with your fingers?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. You might want to be polite and eat with a fork. That's wrong. Because if you're eating with a fork, you're not mekayim the reason why you were notol yadayim. You were notol yadayim because if you touch it with your hands, you're making it tameh, so you want your hands to be tar. By the way, there's a lot of kachis here. I mean, this whole sugi is very mesubach, because here's the problem. If the concern is, the chacham don't want you to make the food tummy, I mean, it really, it doesn't work out that well, because You can touch bread, you can touch everything before you wash your hands, you just can't eat it yet. So I can touch the potatoes and put them around and they could all be wet and they all became tamei through my hands. And then I wash my hands through, this takana needs a lot of hesber, because if the idea is wash your hands in order not to be matame, all of the handling already made it tame. And besides, the big, big kasha is, our tuma is not just our hands being tame. We are tame meis. We are tame meis mamish. We are avos hatuma. Right? So even if I wash my hands, what on earth have I accomplished? I've taken away the tuma drabanan of my hand being a sheni. I am an av hatuma. Okay, that's b'chlawa ho'kasha, what is the logic of netilah shadayim? For example, truma, I wouldn't be allowed to eat truma at all, even if I washed my hands, because I'm an afa truma. That's a lot of kashas on the takana, yeah.
But if Rebbe is saying it's for zeichel and mikdash, or just as a reminder for us for future...
Yes, then it would work, yeah. But even if you're starting for bread is a problem. Okay, yeah. Okay, all right. So that's karpa. So,
talking about two or three times in washing. The standard of approach, you're saying, ruchas, is that the ruchas of the hamotzi ruchas, or is it the ruchas of the waking up in the morning ruchas?
No, the pashta says it would be the same netila as for bread. So you would do it twice on each hand. It's not the netila of getting up in the morning. Like Avodah, I mean, one could read into it, you're beginning the Seder. On the other hand, all the Rishonim say, Urchatz is not stamazoi, washing my hands before the Seder. Urchatz is connected intimately to the Karpas itself. Okay, alrighty. Now, the next thing is, again, not part of any Chiyuvim per se, but we have something called Yachatz. Now, this goes back to the number of matzahs that we have. We know that I am a chuyev min atayra to eat matzah, that's for sure. Be'erev taiklu matzahs, that's a mitzvah di'ayraisa. And again, let me just add another point. You may ask a simple question. Normally, I make kiddush, and then I eat my meal, or I have my meal. Now here, granted, I have to recite the Haggadah. But why does the Haggadah have to be, this is a big question, why does the Haggadah have to be before I eat? Meaning to say, why can't they make Kiddush, wash and eat matzah, and then do the Haggadah over Shulchan Aruch, right? Why B'davka? So there actually is a reason. There's a halachic reason why matzah has to be deferred all the way. Because matzah is called Lechem Oni. Now Lechem Oni means the bread of affliction, the bread of poverty. Matzah is simple, no fancy stuff. But Chazal have another drasha, that the word oni also means onin alav. It is the bread upon which you recite the Haggadah. You must recite the Haggadah over the matzah that you're going to eat. And therefore the concept is, you don't eat the matzah till you've recited the sipur. And that is why you're going to be hungry for a while. Because lechem oini is mechayev, that the Haggadah be recited over matzah. Okay, so that explains why we wait with the matzah. But how many matzahs do we have? So again, mitzad di din d'oraisa of matzah, there's certainly, there's nothing in particular. And many Rishonim say, that you need two matzahs. They say that it's Yom Tov, Shabbos and Yom Tov is Lechem Mishneh. So Lechem Mishneh is Lechem Mishneh too. You don't have to have three. But already from the Rush, and the Rush brings it from Gaonim even earlier, the Gemara itself doesn't say, by the way, how many matzahs you have. You don't know from the Gemara. So many Rishonim, including the Rambam, simply say Lechem Mishneh. But the Rush already brings a reason to have three matzahs. And what's interesting is, the reason is not, see, we kind of give romantic reasons later, but the reason is sometimes a very technical reason. And the technical reason is the following. Because lechem oni has two meanings, it is the bread of poverty, and it's the bread of recitation, reciting, we want to be yaitzei both things at the same time. And the Gemara says one of the characteristics of a poor person is he eats broken pieces of bread. Because the way it is, if you're poor, you have to hoard your bread. Like people in the Holocaust would they'd often break their bread in half. Right? And it's a zecher of the slavery of Mitzrayim. So because of this, it was brought down that not only do you recite the Haggadah over matzah, but you recite the Haggadah over a broken matzah. So that's why we do yachatz. We break a matzah because this is a preliminary thing that we do before the Maggid, so that we will be mekayim the two mitzvos or the two inyanim of lechem oni. Now, based on this, the Rush says, since the mitzvah of lechem mishneh requires two sholem breads, but one of your matzahs has to be broken because of lechem oni, you're mechuyif to have two sholems in addition to the broken one for which you're mekayim lechem oni, right? So that is why the original reason. Now the Rambam says, no, the Rambam actually says, lechem mishneh leil Pesach is one sholem and one broken. That's what the Rambam says. Kachi ha-mitzvah. But the Rush says, no. Even though there's lechem oni, there's still a mitzvah of shleimus.
Where do you see lechem mishneh applies to Yom Tov?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good kasha. It's clear that it does. It absolutely is clear that it does. But it is a good question. Because l'chaira, again, lechem mishneh is because since the man did not fall on Shabbos, there had to be a double portion on Friday. And lechem mishneh is a zecher to Hashem honoring the Shabbos with that double portion. So the question becomes, did the man fall on Yom Tov? And if you're going to say it didn't, and therefore there was lechem mishneh on Yom Tov, why couldn't it fall on Yom Tov? Because why couldn't it fall on Shabbos? The pashtus is because the yidden would be carrying from Rishus HaRabim to their houses. But on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry for Eichel Nefesh. So why couldn't the man fall on Yom Tov? It's a good kasha. It's a kasha that is asked. And if the man did fall on Yom Tov, you didn't need lechem mishneh, why would there be lechem mishneh? It's a good kasha, but the bottom line is, there is lechem mishneh on Yom Tov. Now, later, just as we saw by Karpas, I don't want to say romanticizing of it, because it is from the Rishonim wanted to see new and different ramazim to the idea of three matzahs. And they added that it represents the totality of Am Yisrael, Kaihanim, Levim, Yisraelim, to remind us that only in the Zuchus of Achtos we were Zeicha to leave Mitzrayim. Well, how do I know that? Because that's what Chazal say when they say, Lo Shinu Es Shemam, they didn't change their name, they didn't change their language, they didn't intermarry, they didn't speak Lashon Hara. This is a Gemara in Saita. And if you generalize it, these are inyanim of achdus and togetherness, and we want to be mitztaref, kohanim, levim, and yisraelim. Okay, so that's the machlokes, two matzahs or three matzahs. Yachatz is based on lechem oni. You see, it's true that the larger half, is going to be hidden for the afikomen, but that's not intrinsically yachiv. In fact, they have a famous... It's a little story about Rav Chaim's kids. I guess the Briskerov, I don't know, they had the kids. They were once holding the Afikomen hostage. They wanted something from their father. So for whatever the reason, Rav Chaim was not in the mood to negotiate. So Rav Chaim just took a piece of matzah and said, "This is my Afikomen," and ate it. And Rav Chaim said, "Al pi halacha, the afikomen doesn't have to be the other half of the yachatz." Now, as they say, the ikar reason for yachatz is similar. Actually, you can try, if your kids try it on you, you can try this. Yachatz is lechem oni. That's what yachatz is. So, memela, we want to use the other half too. We use it for afikomen, etc. But aliba diemus, intrinsically, yachatz is not connected to afikomen. It is connected to lechem oni. Okay, now, why? So why do you break it? Lechem oni. Why the middle matzah? So again, Meikar Hadin is not, you're not mechuyev to do the middle matzah, but the Minag Yisrael is to do the middle matzah. And there are different reasons that are given. One of the reasons that are given are connected to Shevet Levi. The middle matzah does represent Shevet Levi. And Shevet Levi were the one tribe, paradoxically, that were not nishtabed in Mitzrayim. They were not nishtabed in Mitzrayim. And it reminds us that the way we survived the Avdus, and we didn't hit the 50th level of Tumah, was from the Torah and Avaida of Shevet Levi. And that's a reminder in our own Golus, when we face persecution, it is only through the Kayach that Leviim represent, the Torah and Avaida, that is Matzil Kol Yisrael. Okay. But again, as I say, when people ask you why are there three matzahs, I mean, there is the original reason, and then there are other timing that we give. Okay. So we have Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. So now we are all set. Now we are ready to begin the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim over Lechem Ayni. Now, you understand the concept. We are fulfilling it over Lechem Ayni. That is why, as well, the matzah should be uncovered for the duration of Magid, except at various points we will cover it when we pick up the wine, etc. But because, again, there is a chiyuv of Lechem Oni. Lechem sha'onin alav devarim harbe. You recite the Haggadah over the matzah, etc. Now let me just mention another ha'ari here. When we go back to the Dalit Kosos, so the Brisker Rav used to be Masver, and l'char it's pashut this way, that the Dalit Kosos is not just a chiyuv to drink four cups of wine. I mean, if I were to drink four cups of wine just right away, I wouldn't be Yaitzei. Rather, it's also a chiyuv that you must recite different portions on a Kais Shel Bracha. So there's a mitzvah to say Kiddush on a Kais Shel Bracha. There's a mitzvah to say Magid on a Kais Shel Bracha. There's a mitzvah to say Birchas HaMazayin on a Kais Shel Bracha. And there's a mitzvah to say Hallel on a Kais Shel Bracha. Meaning, it's not just the Shasiya, it is the Amira Al HaKais. Why is that important? The reason that's important is because you got to follow the instructions in the Haggadah. When the Haggadah says, before the Manishtana, pour your second cup, you might think, hey, why do I have to pour my second cup? I'm not going to drink it for 2 hours, or whatever, however long your Magid is, so I'll pour it then. Big mistake. Because if you pour it then and drink it, you are Mekayim the mitzvah of drinking wine, but you weren't Mekayim the Amira on a Kais Shel Bracha. So you need to pour it then. Ad kidei kach, that the Brisker Rav had a chumrah, that even if you, let's say you pour it like this, the Brisker Rav says you have to drink from the same Kais upon which you were Mekayim the Amira. So the Brisker Rav says, this is a big, big chumrah, the Brisker Rav says, if I had this second cup in front of me when I was saying Magid, and right before it was time to drink, the kos spilled, and I have to fill a new cup, the Brisker Rav said, I got to say all of Magid over again. Because there has to be, because you're only Mekayim Dalit Kaisis on the Kais upon which you did the mitzvah of Haggadah. It's a big chumrah, but that's an incentive not to spill your wine. It could be maybe the chumrah is only for the Bala Seder, the other one can make a cheshbon like that, but this is what the Brisker Rav says. So it is important, the idea that you fill up your cup before you do the mitzvah is important, because the point is not just the drinking, the point is the amira on Kais Shel Bracha. Thus the Gemara says, even if Birchas HaMazayin normally doesn't need a Kais, Leil Seder, the Chachamim were Mesakein, that Birchas HaMazayin has to be said over a Kais Yayin. And that's true even if you're by yourself, right? Normally, if you're, there is a shita that says even by yourself you have to bench on a kais normally, but our minhag certainly is, when a person is benching by himself, he does not say it on a kais. And yet, for Leil Seder, you are mechuyev. You don't just drink a cup of wine after benching. You are mechuyev to be mevarech birkas hamazayin on a kais shel brachia.
Well, the Chazir then say, when we have a minhag not to take out gaps at the Chazir, say not to do that because then your cup's not.
In other words, because our minhag is when you take out the wine, you then replace it. You pour it back. So you're saying that wine was not. That's an interesting question. I have to check. I mean, it could be he says that it's bottled since most of the kais is taychil bracha. Those drops wouldn't be megareh, but that's an interesting horror. Now, because of this idea of mira al kais, there's some people that hold. You're supposed to hold the cup for the whole maggid. Actually hold the cup for the magid like you would do for kaish shel bracha. Again, the minhag ha'olam is not to be a machmer on it, but there is a makom to be machmer to hold the kaish in that way. Okay, so that brings up to magid, so maybe we'll stop here and tomorrow we'll continue. The only thing is I just have to say Tuesday is a problem. But Mr. Shem, Wednesday we'll meet again. Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Okay, so thank you for coming.
What's the deal with pouring wine or taking it out with a finger?
Yeah, we'll get to it. We're gonna go over the Haggadah in order as well. Okay, we'll get to it.
How would the Rav suggest that we can be climb the mitziv? Because I often feel that we land up when the brisket Rav, everyone's so worried about sharing, giving up any scales. And how can it be climb the mitziv to make it like an enjoyable experience and like get people into the story and everything? You know, how would the Rav suggest that they're doing that?
Well, you got to think about it's an avaida really, because the problem is you have so many different types of people, religious people, less religious people, children, B'nai Torah, older people who want to, they can't stay up that late. It's very, very hard to pitch it. I'll tell you an interesting thing. I noticed, generally, maybe because they're older, that many, many Chashuva people do not have a long Seder so much. I mean, they may know all sorts of Torah and the Haggadah, but they don't use the Seder as the vehicle for Pilpulim or all sorts of lumnesses. They do a relatively pashat pshat type of Seder. And but one way is singing it. You do a Hallel, you sing, you try to create a Sudas Yomtiv, you try to bring in Midrashim or Mamari Chazal that are Misameach, that Geula. But it's a hard thing to do.
A lot of people they get little toys or whatever, so like for like frogs.
They have
like
toys, they reenact the Taimanim of a whole minhag where people dress up like they're leaving Mitzrayim
and walk around the table.
They play act, they do a lot of
play acting. So those are good things to do.
Those are good things to do, yeah, they are good things to do.
Some people prep their stuff also before, that this way they don't have to be busy with the shiurim in the...
Yeah, the shiurim is an interesting thing. I don't want to get to it. I mean, kezayis is a pachas. To say a kezayis is not a kezayis. An olive is not a kezayis. It's a mud nesach, but okay. And then even if you hold niskatnu hashiurim, so two kezayisim would be a kezayis. So two olives are kezayis. So it's still not so much.
Rabbi Shweitzky gave us a shiur recently, and I think passed him. The Ikra Din, the Kazai is a cubed inch.
Right, that's right.
He said, Lamai says somebody can't do a cubed inch.
It's very, very small. It's very small.
He passed him, yeah. He made clear that he himself eats a lot. He eats the shirim of Chazanish.
Chazanish, yeah, yeah.
But he said, Lamai says, the halacha is a cubed inch.
See, it's a problem. The Chazanish himself was Vadai Maskin. that what he held was not the minhag that had been followed. So that's a very, very interesting thing when a great Pesach, it's like Rabbeinu Tam. Like, how did Rabbeinu Tam, like, you know, say, what, did he say his Zaydis tefillin were pasul? He said Zaydi never wore kosher tefillin in his whole life. It's a pella, really, how that could happen. Although the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin is from the Yerushalmi, there's a marker in the Yerushalmi for it. But it's always a pella for someone to be Mashana the Minag Yisrael like this. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good. Take care. Yeah, if you want to meet. Can I ask a question?
Why do we need to have Kavona to cover the Maror? Can we not be Soymek on the Barabbas? The fact that, you know, isn't there a thing in Rachma that if you set up a shekel and the Barabbas brings out another shekel, you don't have to make a.
But the difference. One second. The problem is this, though. The problem is. In other words, why do you have to have kavanah? Let the balabayas cover it.
Does each person doesn't have to have kavanah?
No, each person has to have kavanah because the problem is, if you don't have kavanah to cover, then, in other words, what are you asking? If the Balabayas had Kavanah to cover and you didn't?
Well, yeah, I'm saying, do you have to? Why do you have,
I understand. That might be so. But somebody has to have that Kavanah. The Balabayas has to have that Kavanah. Because if the Maror is not covered by the Adama, then there's going to be a Sapek Bracha. In other words, is the Maror Chayav in its own Bracha, or is it covered by Hamotzi? Yeah.
This idea of Das Balabais, like I remember hearing it like after the meal when they bring out the mash or whatever.
But the Maror is eaten before the, in other words, the Maror is eaten after Hamotzi, but before the meal.
Right.
So the question is Maror part of the meal and therefore doesn't need Barei Pri Adama? Or is it not part of the meal, and it does? So imagine, if there wouldn't be karpas, you'd have that shayla every year. Do I make adama or not? So it's a suffik bracha. So suffik bracha lahakil, but it's a suffik bracha. So the chachamim, one of the reasons they introduced this adama thing early, before matzah, is that it should cover the morah.
Rebbe said about the shita that says that we can actually be yotze with afikom and the korban pesach. Therefore, we should have in mind when we say afikom matzah for the korban pesach.
No, not for the korban pesach. For the afikom,
that
is a commemoration of the korban pesach. In other words, Chazal were misaken that at the end of the meal, you eat an extra piece of matzah. To remind you of when we had the Korban Pesach that was eaten at the end of the meal.
So with that we can be yotze with the mitzvah, the rest of Korban Pesach?
No, of matzah. They say you should be mechavein that the mitzvah of matzah will be yotze with the apikomen. You know, you're not yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach.
Okay, fine.
Unless it's the Korban Pesach.
If our neighbors across the road suddenly became very generous and said you could do korbanos if you wanted, would we then? Is the only reason we don't do?
This was a famous series of shuvas between Rabbi Kiveger and Zvi Hirsch Kalischer. Zvi Hirsch Kalischer was one of the earliest Zionists before Herzl. He was religious. He was a chasam barav. And he maintained we should bring a Korban Pesach today. What's the deen? The deen is this. I can't go on the Harabayas because I'm Tamei Meis and we don't have Paraduma. But the halacha is, if Rove of Klal Yisrael are Tamei, Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, and we bring the Korban Pesach even though we're Tamei. Eibazai, since Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, we should be able to bring a Korban Pesach. Rabbi Kiveger says, Rabbi Kiveger was against it, Chassam Sofer was against it, everybody was against it. And they said, because we can't be machria in a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. Because here's the thing. The Shitas HaRambam is that the Makom HaMikdash has Kedusha even Bizman HaZeh. Now, even though that's normally a Chumrah, that's why I can't go on the Harabayas, But that'll be the kula, that the makam hamikdash has kedusha, so you could bring a korban pesach if you have a din of tumah hutra betzibur. The Ravid actually says the makam hamikdash has no kedusha today. Now theoretically, like the Ravid, you'd have a leniency. I could go in the Harabayas. But that also means, since it has no kedusha, if you bring a korban on the Harabayas, that's shechut echutz. That's like bringing a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Gevager says, we have to be choshesh l'chumra to both opinions. We have to be choshesh to the Rambam Shita, that Stamazaya can't go in the Harabayas, because I'm Tameh. But you can't use the Rambam Lakula. You have to go like the Ravid, that maybe there's no Kedusha, and if there's no Kedusha, to be Makdish the Korban Pesach would be Shechut Echutz. Now the Meister of David Karliner, great Gadol, says, he didn't hear Rabbi Kiveger's dilemma, because he'll give you a Mimanavshach. He'll say, okay, be Makdish the animal, be Makdish a lamb on a Tanai, and say the following. If the halacha is like the Rambam, I'm bringing this as a korban pesach. And if the halacha is like a ravid, I'm just shechting a sheep. So mameka, I shech the sheep with the laws of the korban pesach. And mimanafshach, it's fine. Like the Rambam, it's a korban. And like the ravid, it wasn't a korban. So I'll eat it with the laws. That's what Deborah Kalina's kasha. But the evidence is there are a million other problems. Who's a Kohen? Kohen Miyuchas. How do you make Big Day Kahuna? There are all sorts of machloksim.
Where's
the Mizbeach? Exact Big Day Kahuna. We have machlokes Rashi and Taisus about how the Chayshin looks. How do you do that, right? The most important issue is where is the Mizbeach? Because you can't just bring the Korban anywhere in the Temple Mount. It has to be the Makam HaMizbeach. So there are a million different issues. Now they say b'shem the Beis Halevi, though, an interesting thing. And I don't know how this is always called in halacha. The Beis Halevi said, for every objection people raise against bringing the Korban Pesach, I have a teretz. But the one thing teretz I don't have is, I can't give a teretz for the Jews that are going to be killed by Muslims if they try to bring it. So the Beis Halevi was mashma, again, the Pi HaShmua at least, that he really considered this to be a bikuach nefesh problem, which means, in theory, according to him, he felt maybe there were possibilities if they gave us rishus. But as I say, Rabbi Kiveger and the Chassam Sofer, they seem to say there are too many issues that we could not work out.
But the Ravid hold that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in the same place or a different place?
No, same place.
It just, as long as there's no
problem. But he says that after the Chorban, the Ravid Shita is there's no Kedushas Makam. Quite amazing. It's going to the Ravid. This is an amazing thing. You can freely walk even in the Kodesh HaKadosh. The Ravid is tremendously mako. But Rabbi Kiveger points out the kula of the Ravid will be a chumra that there's no way you're allowed to bring a korban there because it doesn't have the holiness of the mikdash. So bringing a korban there is as much of an avera as bringing a korban in Brooklyn.
And are we strict to go to Chumrah both ways because it's an issue of Kores?
Yes. And Rabbi Kiveger says we can't be machriya between the Ravid and the Rambam, and therefore we have to be taifes the Chumras.
He doesn't mean that generally, I assume, but specifically for this.
No, for this machlokas. He doesn't mean generally, but in this machlokas, because it's nogea Kores in both sides. You see, if I enter the mikdash and I'm tamei, I'm chayiv Kores, and if I bring a korban. Even if I could enter, I'll still enter with Sibor, but like the Ravid, I'm allowed to enter. Mm. But if I bring a korban on that site, I'm chayiv karis. That's called shechut echutz. So there's a chayiv karis like the Rambam, and there's a chayiv karis like the Ravid. So you have to be machar on both sides. Right? This was a live debate. There were many people trying, and in fact, they bring that when the Balei HaTaisus, one of the Balei HaTaisus, came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1200s. He brought a Korban Pesach. That's where it's recorded. He actually brought a Korban Pesach.
I heard that about the Rambam. Has the Rav seen anything?
I think I've heard it. I think it's not true. It's not true. Because the Rambam writes in a letter that he was zocher to visit the Harabayas and cry over the Kaisel. So I mean, it's not the mashma. He went further than that. he was Mishtateach on the but the Rash, I think the family of the Rash is very famous. And you tell me the Rash is Rabbeinu Shimshon, one of the Balei Taisus. He wrote the main Perushim on Zerayim and Tyrus. Either he or his Talmidim brought the Korban Pesach.
Wow. Yeah. And they let him do it?
The Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, Rash Mishantz.
They let him do it?
Well, I don't know. There were different. I have to go back and see what the historical situation was in those days.
Oh.
Maybe it was in Christian hands, then it went back and forth, and the Christians didn't care. I don't know. It's hard.
Then they also needed all the stuff, like we were saying. They needed all that stuff.
Yeah. You have to figure out how this happened, yeah.
And then they must have had
They made some begotten.
Must have had a Masura with Mizbeh, where the exact placing of things was.
Well, listen, you know, you can bring Rias. I mean, if you follow the Mishnah, the question is, you know, what's the pshat? But if you have a definitive pshat in the Mishnayos, that will tell you where the Mokim Mizbeach is, because the Mishnah in Maseches Midos precisely tells you from this gate to this point, to this point, to this point. So theoretically, you can measure, but you know, we're just not.
That was the Herodian temple, or wasn't
that? That's the Herodian temple. But the Herodian temple, I mean, the Mokim Mizbeach is still it. In other words, if on the Herodian temple you figure out where the Mizbeach was, that's where the Mizbeach was, even if you didn't have, you know, all of those things surrounding it.
It's possible to figure out.
It is possible, but again, you know, we're Mesupic. How to learn, there's so many Pshatim in things, different explanations. So when it's Nogel, a Maisa like this, you know, you don't just, my Pshat is this, you know, let's go ahead and do it. I mean, it's Nogel Kares and all sorts of Binyanim. So the Gedalim didn't want to do it. But Ratzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a big advocate. You've heard, he was the Theodor Herzl's predecessor, but he was a from Schlesien, he was a Thomas Chacham.
He actually advocated for a state?
He advocated for a state, yeah. Huh? Yeah. I mean, he didn't do too much to advance that, but he had the dream that it's time to establish a Jewish presence and ultimately a Jewish state, and that would bring Mashiach and all those different things. Right.
They've actually just made there seems to be a streak of Israeli TV shows about Haredim, and they've just made a new one about imagining a dystopian future whereby Haredim have autonomy in Jerusalem and the Chilonim have autonomy in Tel Aviv.
Nightmare,
really? literally just came out.
Two countries. Yeah. Wow.
I saw it on the news, yeah, like two countries, yeah.
Amazing.
So
I had probably some beleaguered from guy in Tel Aviv and some beleaguered Chiloni. Can't get out, okay.
On a different note, remember you mentioned about the green of the Karpas? Is there an Indian for why there should be green?
So again, I mean, some say it's a Chaydesh Aviv, right? Springtime, freedom, right? There's the green, that the green emerges from the earth. These are later Ramazim that are said by Svarim. But they're later things. They're not necessarily connected so much to the Makairis of these halachas.
And also
hydroponic, yeah.
We don't make a hadama, we make a shako.
Shako, yeah.
So lettuce nowadays, I mean, there's so much
stuff. You have to check. It's an important thing.
Huge.
Now, some hydroponic does have some dirt, meaning sometimes it's like a package of dirt.
They throw dirt because they want people to wash it from the flies and stuff.
Oh, they throw dirt on top. That's not good enough. But sometimes the packet, they're like a little bag of dirt, you know. It's not totally hydroponic. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful. It's also in the Ger for Maror, by the way, which is maybe actually more important, because if the Maror is not a min of Adama, you're not Yaitse Maror. So there you actually have a mitzvah.
And you're
not Yaitse the mitzvah of Maror if it's hydroponic.
Where in the package do you find that?
It should say, I think it's labeled. If it's hydroponic, yeah. I think it's labeled.
I thought nowadays most stuff or at least in these greenhouses, is there a difference between these greenhouses in Israel? I thought that was like the big thing with the bugs. That's why they're very, very happy about it.
No, I think it's grown in dirt.
In dirt.
Just very, it's filtered dirt and monitored, you know, but it's still dirt, still dirt, yeah. Not for care, I mean, it has to be dirt. So, all right, good. So we'll see you Wednesday night.
Great.
Oh.
He bought in Osherad.
Yeah.
He bought in his packets of cookies. Not from the Rebbeinut, like Rebbeinut Chulin, something like that?
Chalon.
And it says, I'll pee the psak of Rebbevadi. And he called Rebbe Peretz to make sure. Rebbe Peretz said that that's pure chametz.
Pure chametz?
Yeah. And he went,
Why would
not according to Rebbevadi or something like that.
Yeah.
He went back to Osherad today.
Yeah.
And he goes to Magic, he wants to return it. And the guy asks him why. So he said, told him about it. My rabbi said, So he said, I know, it's pure chametz. That's the man who says,
pure chametz?
Yeah. And he said, like, many people are returning it. Like, so, I don't know what that means, but, like, is there, being that I heard things like that, is there a chiv to do something about it? But
pure chametz, okay. The only thing I can think of is this. I mean, the problem is, it's called matzah ashira, meaning to say these are Pesach cookies. So this is matzah flour mixed with wine or mixed with grape juice or mixed with apple juice.
Okay.
And it's like egg matzah, what we call egg matzah, mixed with egg yolk.
Okay.
So the problem is, for Ashkenazim, our minog is we're not allowed to eat egg matzah ashira on Pesach.
Right.
So it's a chumra of Ashkenazim. So we don't call it chametz. You're allowed to own it, but we treat it like chametz. We don't eat it. So these Pesach cookies.
That's not
cookies,
Rabbi Peretz. Okay.
Why Rabbi Peretz? Yeah, but why Rabbi Peretz said it's no good for Sfardim? That I don't know. But for Ashkenazim, even calling it chametz is hyperbole. But you know, it's, we treat it like chametz in some ways.
Okay, fine. So it's
the boys is Sfardi or
Sfardi? Boys is Sfardi boy. Yeah, it's always like. If the guy in the store said it, I'm like, I don't understand how they can get away with it.
The guy in the store said it?
Yeah.
Well, probably because the person had already sent some. He probably heard it from guys, people returning it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know, it's chametz. I don't think he was expressing. I don't think he was expressing his day.
Oh.
He was just saying, yeah, I know, you're the 10th guy that came back.
Okay.
Yeah. But why Sfardim? Unless Rabbi Peretz knows something about the Hashgacha that's no good, which I don't know. But in terms of a product, the problem would only be Matzah Ashira, which is a problem for Ashkenazim.
Okay.
So it's not just kidneys. Kidneys is one difference, and Matzah Ashira is another difference. Sfardim eat Matzah Ashira.
I
doubt that it's. Unless there's something wrong with the Hashgacha, which I don't know. But
yeah, Rabbi Peretz told me you shouldn't even eat it all year round.
Okay, so that may be a Rabbanut thing. Maybe he just said he doesn't trust the Rabbanut of Chalom.
Oh.
That might be a general thing. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But in terms of the product itself, you know, it's Matzah Shira.
Okay. Thank you, Rafael.
Okay, be well. Just close this.